I just recently told my daughter that too. I was like, I forget where we were, but I was like, see, they have a dog. This is a good thing. I was like, you always have the option to just go pet the dog if you need time alone, you know?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Oh, everyone should have a pet just for that reason, for everyone else's sake even. Hi, everybody. We have a very important announcement to make. We have decided to make our podcasts release bi-weekly. So you'll have more time to listen to us. We'll have more time to get some clips and things out to all of our viewers and listeners. And we hope you won't miss us too much.
Bi visibility. Let's go. All right. You want to start our episode?
Yeah. Okay. So today we're going to talk about, it's part of our, basically our Pride package. We were thinking ahead to some things that might help people around, you know, around Pride, at least in Toronto, depending on where you are in the world, it might be somewhere, you know, a different weekend, obviously. But hopefully this will help you whenever that is. Last time we talked about sobriety and some of the challenges around that. And that's obviously something that can be more of an issue around Pride. With lots of parties and things going on. And we also wanted to tackle social anxiety because that is also something that, although it can afflict you anytime, it can be even more intense around Pride.
Yeah, and I think drinking or, you know, anything, you know, we always reach for different tools when we're anxious. Mm-hmm. And often it can be linked to alcohol to just try and, you know, calm the nerves and that kind of stuff. So yeah, we thought it might be helpful to tie it with our sobriety episode.
Yeah. Do you have a lot of social anxiety? Some? Okay. What's your scale? Like none, some, a lot.
Okay. Occasional.
Occasional. Yeah.
And I think it's related to, I view it kind of as a social battery. And when my social battery gets low, I find it very hard to move into social settings.
Right.
And also the environment, it plays a big factor for me. The environment plays a big factor for me for kind of how the anxiety shows up. Like if there's going to be if I don't know the space or there's going to be lots of lights and sounds that like I can get overstimulated. Which then can kind of lead into some anxiety or just make me want to retreat.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're describing social anxiety kind of in the moment at an event.
Yes.
So that's what you have the most experience with. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and then, I mean, I can hang out with pals and friends very easily. And then if I know I'm going to be meeting a lot of new people, then I would kind of have more of the pre-anxiety of like, oh, I'm going to have to be on. This is going to be tiring. Oh, okay. And it's like more performative and I get anxiety about having to perform. Go back and listen to our people pleasing episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I get the pre-form for sure.
Yeah.
Especially if I don't know what the environment's going to be like exactly, who's going to be there, what's it going to be like. And the way it manifests for me is sometimes bailing entirely.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Sometimes bailing entirely. And then it also manifests in being painstakingly worried about what I'm going to wear.
Oh, yeah.
Not worried, more about comfort because I'm uncomfortable. I'm feeling anxious. So then things on my body are also making me, like, have to be more precise in a way. They have to match that.
This has also, I think, ties into our neurodiversity episode because that also resonates. Like, I don't, maybe this is a queer thing, maybe this is a neurodiverse thing, maybe this is just a human thing, but you know when a t-shirt just hits right?
Yes.
And like you just like, I have these t-shirts and I've shared them with you.
Oh yeah. And yeah, I tried them on. They're
great.
This
is the shirt that I know I can wear and I will be comfortable and I won't be anxious and it feels good. And sometimes the shirts just don't shirt.
It's true. And I think people need to find what that outfit is for them.
Yes,
like have a sort of go-to social anxiety fit where you're like, okay, this is the one that I know I feel comfortable in, that I know I feel like I look good in. Nothing about it like makes me self-conscious, and just go with it. because that's a painstaking thing for me. I mean, we've talked about this with Dev, how yeah. much time we can even spend on choosing socks.
Which is hilarious because I know the three of us, most of the time we roll out with a pair of pants and a t-shirt and it's like, yeah, but it's this pair of pants yes. and that t-shirt.
Exactly, right?
I was going to say too, you taught me the way of the earplug for like concerts and loud places. And I think that's something that's really helped as well.
Definitely the earplugs are a huge fix for that kind of when you're overwhelmed with sensory stuff or things are too noisy. It just kind of like dulls things. It kind of feels like it just puts you in your own safety zone yep. in a way by kind of blocking out the outside world just enough.
Mm-hmm.
What else was I going to say about that? Oh, going back to the outfit thing too, I was thinking about it. Do you think that's also maybe an attempt at some feeling of control in the situation where, because anxiety is like kind of feeling out like yeah. you don't have control.
Yeah, definitely.
And so that's like the thing you can.
I think that all, and also combined with like, if you feel good, like I don't care what you wear. If someone is comfortable in what they're wearing, the way you are in a space is so much more relaxed. Like, I don't know the science behind that, but like, I remember like more so when I was younger and, you know, wearing the clothes that were expected and my whole body language just shift and you could feel the discomfort. And that played into the anxiety for me as well, even more.
Absolutely. Cause yeah. you're kind of tensed up.
Yeah.
And then that's telling your brain that you're stressed.
Yeah.
And
so you aren't safe.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's feeding into that and just making it all worse. I looked up, I looked for a definition of social anxiety and actually had more in it around a fear of judgment or embarrassment or rejection, which I found interesting because that's yeah. not how I experience it necessarily.
Huh. Do any one of those like ping more for you or what is it that you feel when?
I don't know because like you were saying, especially as queer people, we're not wearing what's quote unquote expected of us
yeah.
all the time. So if anything, we've probably learned that it's more important to just be comfortable in what you're wearing because in a way that it reflects you and therefore you're comfortable and like to care less about what other people think.
Yeah.
And the hope is if you're going into a queer space that you will naturally feel more accepted no matter what you're wearing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was a little kind of surprised by that.
Maybe those are kind of the underlying pieces. And then, but what we actually feel, because I know anxiety for me can be very physical.
Yes. So
like heart rate, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or like kind of ruminating on stuff. Mm-hmm. So those might be like the underlying, but then the way we experience and feel it, it's kind of you know it when you feel it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And now that I think about it, like let's say I'm feeling anxious because I don't know who's going to be there or all of the people that are going to be there. And I'm like, okay, well, how many people will I know? Maybe there's an embarrassment thing there in a way. Cause you might feel
enough?
Like, or just as simple as who am I going to talk to? And yep. am I going to be there like in a corner alone for a little while, which by the way, I do that a lot. Just, I choose to be in the corner sometimes and like take a little, I call it introvert's corner. Sometimes you just need a moment to yourself and that's not a bad thing. So maybe in the past I would have been worried about that, but now I actually don't mind going into spaces alone as much. But still, there's that question.
It's a muscle that you kind of have to work.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Actually, when I was looking up what recommendations around how to manage social anxiety, that was one thing, was like practicing it and going out of your comfort zone more often because then you do gain more confidence to then do that.
Something that's helped me, because I was usually someone who would just wait for someone to come up to me or like, you know, find a stand and hang by myself if you know, in that type of situation. But reminding myself that other people like are kind of feeling the same way. And so if you go up and talk to someone and like once you kind of rip that Band-Aid off and I don't know, it gets easier and easier. And usually there's like, you can have a good conversation or like...
And I have a feeling you're especially good at that because of what someone said at your birthday party when we were all going around circles saying good things about Lauren. One person said that who was, I don't know, maybe a year ago or something. They didn't know you all that well. And they were at an event and they were feeling anxious, but they hadn't even shared that with you. And you were being like, you look great, blah, blah, blah. Like just being like, what do you need? How are you doing? And just being very kind of open. And she told us how much that meant to her. And you didn't even know you're helping. And actually, when I was doing a bit of research on this, that was one thing that people suggested doing as well, was doing something nice for someone else while you're out.
Yeah.
If you're feeling anxious, because that activates the reward center in our brain.
Yeah.
And so then we feel better and they feel better. And it's like this kind of...
Yeah. The other thing I often do is like, I'm usually the... Like, I try and find, like, a helper role.
You like errands. So you're like, what can I get? Who needs a drink?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, let me find a task. I remember in high school, I was on the, like, yearbook photography. And I was like, oh, this camera gives me an excuse and a reason to be in those spaces. And so I kind of, you know, you find that in other ways now, be it, you know, oh, help the host out. Oh, find, like... You know, find your other introvert pal or like all those things.
Pet the resident animal.
Oh, Elena, I
just recently told my daughter that too. I was like, I forget where we were, but I was like, see, they have a dog. This is a good thing. I was like, you always have the option to just go pet the dog if you need time alone, you know?
Yeah, it's perfect.
Oh, everyone should have a pet just for that reason, for everyone else's sake even.
Okay, so Pride is coming up.
Yes.
Let's... You know, there can definitely be anxiety about, like, am I doing too much? Am I doing enough? What are people doing? I had a thought. Sorry.
That's okay.
I don't know if this is relevant, but bear with me.
Okay.
The, like, FOMO anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
Should we talk about that a little
bit?
Yeah,
I mean, that's the thing, because we feel pressure to be doing something because we worry that everyone else is doing something in that moment. And you're like, but I'm just home resting. I should be out there. It's a nice day, or it's Pride. I should be out there doing. But you have to prioritize yourself, because otherwise, if you do go out into those spaces and you're not 100% or at least close to it,
yeah,
you probably will have more anxiety, or you will feel burnt out.
Yeah.
And people aren't doing all the things you think they're doing all the time. And if they are, it's not necessarily even the healthiest thing. So like, don't judge what you're doing based on what you think other people are doing. It has to be on your own calendar and agenda, you know?
Yeah. And I like to, when kind of we think about Pride, I like to kind of have variability in the activities.
Oh, yeah.
So this year, Div and I are doing the Pride and Remembrance Run. So we have like something that's kind of sporty. And then, you know, we also have our you know, we'll go to Steers and Queers or like different events, mm-hmm. And the Dyke March and like all these different things that kind of have a different vibe to them. But we just kind of pick a handful, and then if there's more or stuff happens organically, then that's great.
Yeah, I think sometimes people put a lot of pressure on buying tickets to events and doing all the big stuff, but I mean, some people can do all the big stuff every day in a row, but most people can't, right? So you do you.
We've got a couple of responses from our listeners today about, you know, whether or not they, you know, their experiences.
Yeah, let's start with the one about how social anxiety feels to them.
Okay, this person says, it's like everyone is looking and laughing. And then they also kind of give a tip. So they say yoga in a room full of strangers helps face those fears.
Right. So it's practicing,
mm-hmm.
and then realizing, oh, not everyone's looking at me. Everyone's just doing yoga by themselves, and I'm not the center of everyone's focus.
Yeah. Okay. This other person writes, I get claustrophobic sometimes when the spaces are too crowded and too loud.
This hits both of us, I think. Absolutely. And for me, when you mentioned before how it can feel like pounding heart too, that is definitely, that's definitely something I experienced too. Less so now, I think more that I'm just doing more speaking events and things, but, or just even podcasts and whatever, just talking more. But I remember very vividly in like meetings or classrooms when I was a student wanting to say something and my heart, like if someone was close enough, they probably could have heard it. You know, it felt like it was pounding out of my chest because I was anticipating talking. I hadn't even said anything yet, but it was the buildup before I was going to speak that was so intense. And then by the time you speak, they can hear the shaking and the like the quivering in your voice.
So
and
you it's just the get worst. In quick.
Just gotta get in quick, right?
Don't give yourself time to like spiral on it.
Yeah. What else was I gonna say about that? I don't remember. Okay, let's go to the other.
Okay, someone gave some tips on how they kind of try and cope and stuff. And they said, I do. I manage it by trying to preempt some of my anxieties ahead of time. But basically, I have to do a lot of networking as part of my job and try to call out my anxieties ahead of time to myself. I think also to yourself, but also to others. I think early on, you were like, oh, yeah, like I just might need to like take an introvert corner moment. And you saying that, I was like, oh, that's great. And then it also gave me permission to do that.
For sure.
And so it's like you were help advocating for yourself and also unintentionally.
Yeah.
Like those around you.
That's a
like,
good point.
And I like would look over and like me being me, I'd be like, oh, no, is Elena okay? Is Elena having a good time? That's the, you know, the voice in my head.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. They told me that they might take a corner or like a moment, and that was great.
Yeah, and it's not even like I really just also like people watching.
Yeah.
And part of my experience of an event is sometimes watching what's going on.
Totally.
You know, and sitting back and having that perspective and seeing people chat and have fun. Like you can still enjoy yourself even if you are not the center of the, you know, center of the party.
So I guess it's finding that thing for yourself, that kind of comfort.
Yeah. And there's other tips that I saw when I was looking some stuff up. Obviously relaxation techniques, any that you can do ahead of time, any that you can do in the moment to help you. And there's specific ones you can look up if you wanted to, but they're going to work differently for different people. Like I know I've tried some with my daughter and you're like, okay, well that one doesn't work. That one doesn't work for you. Practice, obviously going out to these different places, avoiding negative coping strategies, things like alcohol or drugs or things as, you know, as crutches essentially to minimize your anxiety, because sometimes they actually just make it worse. If not in the moment, they make it worse maybe the next day. And you're not actually helping yourself, really. Like maybe in the moment you kind of are, but
it's a band-aid.
That's the thing. It's not a long-term way to move in the world when you're trying to, you know, be social.
Yeah, unfortunately alcohol and anxiety are very good pals.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anything you can do to kind of be mindful of that, I think will go a long way.
Yeah. Challenging negative thoughts, which one of our listeners mentioned as well. Asking yourself, what is it about that situation that triggers you? Mm. I thought that was a really helpful kind of reflection that you can do. Obviously not maybe in the moment, but ahead of time or after the fact, be like, what was it about that event? Was it the fact that I thought I might have to speak? Or was it the fact that so-and-so was going to be there? Or what was it underlying that occasion that sparked something for you? One thing did mention practicing public speaking.
Oh.
Just kind of getting in there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, not that you have to go on a stage anytime soon, but in any capacity. Shifting your focus to other people. So that might be doing something nice for someone else. Or literally just asking more questions. And not in a way that, like, you're not interested at all. But, like, genuinely getting into a connection with someone. And, you know, and asking questions. Because that shifts your focus from you, you know, and gets you out of your body, gets you out of your head. Venturing into new territory or out of your comfort zone and sort of practicing those moments that make you grow, right? I think that was pretty much it. And I did read that shy kids are more likely to become socially anxious adults, which isn't surprising. And it's can be exacerbated or more likely if you experience some kind of teasing or bullying as a kid, because obviously you've had then experience with people in social situations where they are cruel to you.
Yes, and then it fits your narrative and
exactly,
you expect it.
Exactly. And your body's also expecting it because it doesn't feel safe to you.
So get out there this Pride, though.
Yeah. Go to the events. Don't go to the events.
Yeah. Listen to yourself and what you need and advocate for yourself. And it's okay to take a minute or find something that like you can kind of lean on in those moments.
Yeah, and chat to people. Even if there are new people to you, this could be like you could meet some great new friends, some great new dates, whoever. And after the fact, you might be like, actually, that wasn't so bad that I reached out and I can't talk.
Well, in And Pride's a good time to do that, to reach out and do those things, because I think there's just like an air of excitement and people are more sociable. People are more open to interactions with strangers and different types of things like that. So I think it's a really great time to test some of these skills.
Also, because it's not like you're sitting at a table having dinner with a bunch of people. You're bouncing around. It's usually big, sort of big crowds. So you can chat for a bit and say, hey, I'm going to go say hi to so-and-so, or I need to go get a drink or go to the washroom. And you have kind of natural reasons.
You have an out.
You have natural reasons to be like, okay, I talked to them for a while and now I need a little break, transition, and then you go do something else. Yeah.
Well, have a safe and amazing Pride, everyone. And yeah, we will see you in 2 weeks. We'll be starting our bi-weekly episodes. And yeah, take care. This has been another episode of Dear Queer. Just a reminder, we are not actually experts. Any advice given should actually come from our experts, who we will bring in from time to time. Music brought to you by Sean Patrick Brennan, produced by myself, Lauren Hogarth, and your host, as always, Elena Papianis. I'm getting that.